Welcome to Daily in the Word. Hi, this is Kerry Schmidt, Director of Striving Together Publications. If you're interested in biblically sound and practically relevant resources for spiritual growth, I invite you to visit strivingtogether.com. At Striving Together, we're laboring every day to produce books, curriculum, music, and local church resources that will encourage and equip believers to live their faith. From all over the globe, we're hearing stories every day of how God is changing lives through these resources. Striving Together is committed to conservative biblical doctrine and values, and we're committed to supporting local church ministry. Visit us today at strivingtogether.com or call toll-free 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. This world is filled with quick-fix solutions that don't last and, frankly, don't work. We're all facing difficult questions and circumstances beyond our control. Are you up against the wall? Well, Jesus can make the difference. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to find out how with Dr. Paul Chappell. Diets to self-help books to relationships and career decisions to family issues, every human being is looking for something that will make a difference, looking for solutions to questions that are bigger than us. Does this describe you? I know it describes me at times. Well, next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study the difference that Jesus makes, because we really do believe, the Bible is clear, Jesus Christ is really the difference that every one of us is longing for in our hearts. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series, The Difference That Jesus Makes. We're going to discover that Jesus is the solution that truly does make a difference for all of eternity. Before we join today's message, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. This is the best way to interface with us at Daily in the Word and let us know that you're listening. Click on the Contact Us button, jot us a quick email, and let us know that our program is touching your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us and contributing to our airtime support? Every dollar you invest into Daily in the Word goes directly into paying for the costs of airtime that we might continue teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God all across the country. On the website, you'll find a host of other resources and information, locations where Pastor Chappell will be speaking in the coming months, also linked to the Alaska cruise information and so many other resources. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. But first today, we're turning to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. The final message in this series is entitled, Trusting God Makes a Difference. Friend, where do you place your hope and your trust, your expectation? Let's find out what happens when you place your expectation in God.
God wants your continual trust in Him to reflect out in a life that's departing from evil, that is distinct and holy unto Him. And so we trust God with a surrendered heart, and we trust God with a sincere heart, a practical Christianity. Notice finally with me this morning, God wants us to trust Him with our stewardship. Now, you'll notice this message moves from philosophical, if you will, into the practical with every step. God says, give me your heart, all of it. God says, let's see that evidence in your life every day. And then He says, to make it real practical, I want you to trust me with your stewardship. Let's see that in verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, here we see God in the realm of stewardship speaks about our use of His substance that He gives to us. Larry Burkett said something I liked very much. God will use money to strengthen our trust in Him. It is often through money that God clearly and objectively shows us that He is God and in control of everything. J. Vernon McGee, the old pastor that pastored down at Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles years ago, J. Vernon McGee often said, you can tell a man's character by reading his checkbook ledger. And on that checkbook ledger should be God, oftentimes, and the work of God through his local church. Larry Burkett says this as well. He says, it is through the use of money that God strengthens our trust in him. So he says, I want you to trust me with your whole heart. And one of the ways that that is fleshed out is how do we trust him in the realm of finances? So let's study that for a moment as we have this time of stewardship these few weeks. Notice, first of all, we are to trust him with our things. Trust him with our things. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance. So what substance has he given to you? And here's the question. Before you sell something, before you trade something, when you get a paycheck, what does God want you to do with that? Well, we know very basically he wants us to trust him with it. And he wants us to say every time, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And we know from this text that one of the things he wants us to do when we sell something, when we make something, is to give him the first fruits of this. Because the substance came from him. Honor the Lord with thy substance. I like the story of the preacher that went out and talked to the rancher one day. And he went out on the ranch and he said, now, Joe, let me ask you a question. He said, if you had 100 cows and God wanted you to sell 50 of them for his work, would you give God 50 of the 100? He goes, well, preacher, I sure would. You know I would. He said, well, that's wonderful. He said, now, if you had 50 horses, would you be willing to sell 25 of those horses for the work of the Lord? He said, absolutely, pastor. If God wanted me to do that, I'd do that. He said, now let me ask you this, Joe. He said, if you had 2 hogs, would you be willing to sell one of those hogs for the work of the Lord? And he said, now, pastor, that ain't fair. You know I've got 2 hogs. Now, we're always willing to do something with, you know, an idea of what might be, or with a mystical kind of a concept out there. But are we truly willing to trust the Lord with our whole heart? And are we willing to trust him when he gives us substance to use for his glory? You see, stewardship is not about raising money, but stewardship is about raising Christians who truly trust God. You see. And that's what this is about. Someone might walk out of here, depending on one's heart, someone could walk out of here today and go, well, the preacher's preaching about, you know, this thing about money. And someone else might walk out and say, seemed like the preacher was trying to get me to trust God today. And one of the ways we show our trust is by honoring him with the first fruits of his blessings in our life. One church that did that in a spectacular way in the New Testament was the church at Philippi. Paul wrote a letter to them called the Book of Philippians. And in that letter, he thanked them for giving so much to his missionary work. Just like this church supports, as of this week, I believe 170 or maybe 80 missionaries, this Philippian church supported the work of the Apostle Paul. Notice what it says here. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Do you know when we give offerings to further the work of God, it's a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God. And Paul said, it wasn't about a gift for me, but it was about fruit that abounds to your account. Do you know people get saved in this church every week that you may not even meet until heaven someday? But did you know that as you and I give to this work, that is fruit that abounds to our account, and that there's a credit, if you will, of eternal proportion, because we are faithful with the substance that God gives to us. So God says, I want you to trust me with your things. Notice secondly, he says, I want you to trust me with your offerings. Now let's see where this is mentioned in the Bible. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance, that's the things, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Did you find that verse? Let's read it together, okay? Proverbs 3:9, ready, begin. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the Now the first fruits, God wants the first part of everything. How many of you believe that God deserves the very first part of everything? That's what he says, the first fruits. The tithe, or the 10% concept, is simply taken from the Bible, where the Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. The first fruit speaks about when God blesses us with something, we don't see what we can do when everything else is taken care of, but by faith, we honor the Lord first. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye, say it with me, first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God says, I want you to honor me with your offerings. There we have the challenge to give. Now, one man said to his pastor, Pastor, I just can't tithe. And I remember when Terry and I, before we were even married, nearly 30 years ago, we were talking about this while we were dating and about tithing. And we had read a book about Christian dating. And one of the chapters was on a budget and having a budget and tithing. And we just looked at the numbers and we figured out in a hurry that it didn't make sense on paper to tithe. And yet we also had to learn the Christian life is not always about sight, but it's about faith. And so we made that commitment as a young couple. Well, this man went up to his pastor. He said, I can't tithe. The pastor said, all right, I'll make you a deal. He said, how about if I guarantee that you give as much as you can and then I'll make up the rest for you. So if you can give 6% or 7%, I'll throw in the 4 or 5%, whatever we need to do to make up the difference. How'd that be? And the man said, well, that'd be fine. All right, I'll do that. He said, I'll let you know every week if I fall short. And the pastor said, now think about what you just did. You said that you couldn't trust God to tithe, but you would trust me as a man. You know, folks, all of us need to learn how to trust God each and every day. You know, there's a very interesting word in verse 9. It says this, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. The word honor was an interesting study for me this week because the word honor has with it the meaning of heaviness or seriousness. God says, I want you to be heavy about this, not in the sense of a burden that we carry, but in the sense of a seriousness as opposed to taking it lightly. You know, many people don't honor the Lord in this matter. And if you're a new Christian or you're just really trying to get involved in giving, I'm not speaking against you today, but I do want to challenge you. Don't take this lightly. Take it with honor. Take it with honor. Honor the Lord from your heart with the first fruits of all of your increase. What does the Bible tell us about the matter of offerings? Because at Lancaster Baptist Church, we want to do what we do because the Bible says so. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, the first day of the week is what, class? Great. On the first day of the week. So Sunday, here we are celebrating the resurrection. On the first day of the week, let every one of you. Now, in the Greek, every one of you means every one of you. All right, good. You're doing good. All right. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. That is to give. To the Lord, lay by him in store as God hath prospered. Now, God prospers everybody differently. And so God wants us to give proportionately. It's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice that we practice and that we give unto the Lord. In the Old and in the New Testament, there are many hundreds of scriptures that teach that a part of our worship to God is our giving. So there's a challenge to give. But notice also there is a promise of provision. Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, God promises that he will provide for us. Now, that doesn't mean that in every case you give and all of a sudden he's pouring buckets of money. It does in many cases mean that God provides a job, God provides an income. But how many of you have learned that God blesses in a whole lot of other ways as well? It might be saving the lost soul of a loved one. It might be your health. It might be in some other area of provision. It is a promise that God says, you remember me, I will remember you. That's what God says. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's the promise of the Word of God. It's not a game that we play. I heard about one man who met the Lord. He said, Lord, what is a million years to you? The Lord said, well, it's like a second. The man said, well, then what is $10 million to you? The Lord said, well, it's like a dime. The man said, well, then can I borrow a dime? The Lord said, just a second. Now, a lot of times people try to manipulate this thing of giving. We don't do this to play a game with God. We do this to honor God. I like the way it is written in Malachi chapter 3. Notice that if you would. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of the host, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now notice this phrase, prove me. What's that next word say? Now, all right? Now, the storehouse in the Old Testament was the temple. In the New Testament, it's the local church. And God says, I want you to prove me now. Now, there have been studies done about this. People who try to start tithing on the gradual method rarely tithe. Only 3 or 4% of all tithers started gradually. Most people who tithe just started trusting God with that 10%, saying, Lord, we're going to trust you to provide. And they avoided procrastination, and they proved now the Lord. Every time we give, every Sunday, we're proving God. We're saying, Lord, I trust you. I'm testing you. I believe in you. I'm trusting you. March the 8th, with our special offering for the building program, we are proving God again in a special way and asking the Lord to provide and to meet the need. Because the Bible does say in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. And this is the promise that God has in the Scripture. Sir Henry Taylor said, I have tried to keep things in my hands and lost them all. But what I have given into the hands of God, I still possess. What a great thought. Thank God there are souls being saved here in this church and around the world through our missionaries. And these are the eternal works of God that we will never, ever lose. You know, years ago, our church was being blessed. The year was about 1994, 95. We had built the North Auditorium. We had the North Auditorium building and a modular building. And that was it. And I mean, I remember walking into that North Auditorium when it was done and thinking, this is the biggest room I've ever seen in my life. How are we ever going to fill it up? I was just a little worried about the whole thing and building this big building program and so forth. And those of you who were here December of 1994, you might remember, we packed that building out. God just filled it right up. And then we went to double services and chairs setting up and all these things. And it was just a matter of weeks before I realized that we're going to have to build another one of these big buildings like this. And the thought scared me half to death, and I prayed and prayed and finally got enough courage to talk to some people about it, and we're going to need a new auditorium, and a lot of them were already saying, yeah, and the ushers were saying, yeah, we do. And during that time, the economy in the mid-90s was really going through something. I'll never forget opening the USA Today paper, and I have the copy of that paper still in my study. The headline said, Lancaster Palmdale Foreclosure Capital of America. By the way, our influence has since spread nationwide. But back then, we had the sole claim to fame, you know. Boom and bust, you know, and we were busted. And I remember reading that, and we'd already started talking to some architects about this building, and the old devil jumped right up on my shoulder and started talking right in my ear. Does he ever do that to you? I thought I could smell him, but then I noticed it was just a lady smoking next to me, but I was pretty sure it was a devil too. And that old devil said, you will be the dumbest, most stupid Baptist pastor that ever preached if you tell those folks it's time to build another building. You need to wait for several years before you build another building. And the devil was fighting me on doing what I knew God wanted us to do. And somehow, by the grace of God and through some time of prayer and seeking counsel, I came to our church and I said, folks, our theme this year is going to be called God is Able. He is Able. And by the grace of God, we're going to start towards a building program. And many of you will recall in the year 2000 when we dedicated this building, and about a year or so after that, we completely finished paying for this building. Why? Because this, for 23 years, has been a church filled with people who trust in the Lord with all of their heart and who honor Him with their substance and who honor Him with their offerings. And my friends, today I submit to you, this is not the year to stop having faith in God. This is the year to keep trusting our Lord. By the way, I wonder if you have trusted the Lord with your eternal destiny. Did you know the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Do you know, I thank God that on April the 5th, 1972, as a young boy in San Jose, California, I realized for the first time that I was a sinner, that I was separated from God, and I realized that Jesus died for my sin. And I called out to the Lord and asked Him to forgive my sin and be my Savior, and I'm thankful that He sealed me that day with the power of His Spirit, and from that day until this day, I have been a child of God because of His grace. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Do you know what I did that day? I trusted my soul's keeping. I trusted my eternal destiny to God. I said, Lord, I ask You to come into my heart and save me from my sin and take me to heaven for all of eternity. And my friend, if you have never done that, then the first step of trust you need to make is that step of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Trust in the Lord as your Savior. Oh, today it's so important that you would turn to Jesus. Turn from everything else. Turn from Mohammed. Turn from Joseph Smith. Turn from materialism. Turn from religion. And turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him." Have you trusted Jesus Christ with your eternity? Then I ask you this, are you trusting Jesus Christ with your substance today? If you say, yes, I'm saved, then are you trusting the Lord with all your heart? And are you honoring Him with the first fruits of His blessings in your life? Because my friend, God is calling on us today to trust in Him with all of our heart, not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways, including financially, to trust Him and to honor Him and to lean on Him, the one who will never, ever fail.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We are studying a series entitled The Difference That Jesus Makes. We're discovering that Jesus is not a quick fix or a self-help solution. He is the eternal truth. He is the God-man that wants to come into your life and have a personal relationship with you. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we invite you to make that decision right now. You, wherever you are, you could bow your head and heart and invite Him into your life as your personal Savior. He will come in and save you, and it is the greatest decision you could ever make. We would love to know if you have trusted Christ as a result of listening to Daily in the Word. Would you take a moment and write to us or call us or contact us via the website? Let us send you a Bible. Let us help you grow in your Christian faith. Before we wrap up today's edition of Daily in the Word, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with a word of personal greeting.
Friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I believe the most important decision we ever make in this lifetime is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have never received that gift of salvation, right now you could take a moment and simply say to the Lord something like this: Dear Lord, I know that I fall short of Your glory. I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask You now to come into my life, forgive my sin, and be my Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you have just now put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, friend, I rejoice with you. And I encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org and request some free materials to help you get started in your Christian life. God bless you.
The easiest way to contact us here at Daily in the Word is to visit dailyintheword.org and simply click on the button that says Contact Us. You can send us an email, give us information about yourself, and let us know that our program is ministering to you. We rejoice greatly every time we hear from our listeners, and we know that our program is touching your life. While you're on the website, I encourage you to take a moment and explore. You'll find a lot of resources to help you grow in your Christian life. If you enjoyed today's message, you could hear it again, you could download it, you could give it to a friend and refer those you love. You could also subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and other podcasts from our ministry. But the Daily in the Word podcast will download this program to your iPod or computer or your portable player at your convenience. You can listen to it anytime on the go. You can refer a friend to Daily in the Word if perhaps this program is not broadcast in their area. A lot of other information can be found on the site. One thing I would like to ask you to do in specific, and that is to prayerfully consider contributing and supporting the ministry of Daily in the Word, even on a regular monthly basis. Regardless of the size of your gift to Daily in the Word, your gift will be invested into the airtime costs of this program all across the country. We love to minister, we love to teach and preach the Word of God, but it's listeners like you who faithfully contribute and help us accomplish this mission that really make it possible. If you'd like to be a part of our ministry, you can click on the donate button when you visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of this edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.